The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true experiences and opinions of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said,
"There is hope for the addicted, and this hope comes through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and by humbling oneself before God, pleading to be freed of the bondage of addiction and offering our whole soul to Him in fervent prayer. Priesthood leaders can help as those who have addiction seek counsel from them. Where necessary, they can refer them to qualified licensed counselors and LDS family services. The addiction recovery program adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is readily available through LDS Family Services."
In this series, you will hear actual meetings discussing each of the gospel principles of addiction recovery and healing. Addiction recovery meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. These podcasts may seem contradictory to such standards. All the participants in these meetings are active participants in the addiction recovery program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. These recordings were created with the express purpose of providing a way for individuals who are isolated from recovery groups to participate, as well as provide an example to church leaders and members of a typical meeting. In this portion of the addiction recovery meeting, you will listen to one member share his or her own personal experience with Step 11 of the addiction recovery program.
Well, I'm Sharon, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sharon.
What a great step, Step 11. I've enjoyed listening to everybody's stories. And I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to say until a few minutes ago, and then it hit me what I needed to say. It's really important to realize that Step 11 is all about the Lord's will and accepting His will. And I remember when I got sober and I had made a decision to stay sober, I was about 9 months clean, and I got on my knees and I said, "Okay, God, I recognize how You saved me, and now I'll serve You. Whatever it takes, I'm Yours." And I guess I thought when I made that decision to serve our Heavenly Father that, you know, I might end up with this better experience than I grew up with. And so, you know, in accepting God's will, I just thought, okay, I'm Yours. I just thought that I was going to have this white dress and I was going to flow everywhere and everything was going to be fine. And, you know, not a perfect life, but better. And so anyway, life went on and I got married and I had my kids. And anyway, my first husband had fallen into addiction, and in his addiction, he raped me and put me in a hospital. And shortly after that, he was convicted of a felony for hurting me. And I had these, you know, I had my kids, but shortly after that, I had my patriarchal blessing because I was looking for direction and I was paying attention. Like, okay, God, what do You want from me now? And in my blessing, it had mentioned a few things, and I won't mention all of them, but some things that stand out is that I was going to have trial after trial, and that it also mentioned that I was valiant in the preexistence. And at the time, it also mentioned that not only did my Father in heaven love me, but that my mother in heaven loved me. And that was pretty significant at the time. But also it mentioned that our Savior was leading me where to go and what to do in my everyday life. And I thought, wow. You know, and it's telling me right here I have this relationship with all three of them before it even gets to the Holy Ghost. I thought, okay, that's really special. But then it talks about that I was going to have joy. And I thought, okay, all right. You know, and at the time I thought, well, maybe that's the worst trial. I can, you know, try to work through that and be okay. But anyway, had gotten remarried. And anyway, I got married in the temple to this guy, and we had kids, my kids, and he had kids. And shortly after we met, my grandma died. And then shortly after that, my brother killed himself. And a year after that, my brother-in-law killed himself. And a friend of mine killed himself. And a matter of fact, the mortician, his name's Jerry at Russ and Brothers, he actually did my brother's temple work because we were there so much. And anyway, I was so happy with my second husband. I can't even begin to tell you how happy. Anyway, he got sick. He stopped taking his medication. And about 3 years ago, he, in a nutshell, ruined our family. And anyway, I was even talking before the meeting that it's still really hard for me to go to the temple because I had to say goodbye to him there because he just was so bizarre. And anyway, he threw the kids across the room, and I had to get them safe. And anyway, I thought, okay, God, really? Really? I did everything you asked me to do, and now why? Well, shortly after that, I just kept hanging in there. And in the middle of all these horrible things, all these miraculous things were happening. And all these people were coming and asking me in the middle of my biggest devastation, hey, how do I stay sober? I'm like, really? I'm trying to figure this out too because I'm just hanging on today. But yeah, I'm sponsoring all these people feeling pretty empty, but God's telling me to do it. I'm like, okay. Well, anyway, I had lost, I raised 3 girls. I was, so when I got divorced from my second husband, it wasn't just the devastation of my husband, it was these 3 girls I had raised that about killed me. And, I had to let them go. And one of the girls has come back and recognizes that I'm the one that's been there. And she has a little girl, and I'm Grandma Sharon, and she has another little baby on the way. But anyway, and then all this hard stuff with my sons came, was, you know, acting out, obviously, from the things that had happened with their dad and with their stepdad. And anyway, I just thought, you know what, God, really, I'm about done. I'm about to jump off the cliff myself because, seriously, why do you even want from me? I'm reading my patriarchal blessing. I'm doing it faithfully, Lord. I'm showing up for church. I'm doing what you want. But why? Where's that part? Where's that joy part? Where is that? You know, honestly, I'm doing your will. Well, anyway, I really love how our Father in Heaven puts us through all this stuff for a while, and then he always puts it in a nice little bow in a nice little package that you get to see why it was all for. And this year, I guess it's been a year ago since in November, but I decided to go from the facilitator role to a missionary role in the mission. And I have had wonderful experiences as a facilitator for years, but I really felt prompted that I needed to do a mission. And so anyway, I'm currently serving as a missionary in the ARP program, and I was assigned to Orange Street, a women's halfway house. And a lot of these women are transitioning. They're all transitioning from prison, most of them, or have had been in jail or have had some issue where their PO is sending them in there for a while. And anyway, but a lot of them are transitioning to get jobs. And anyway, when I started going to this meeting, there wasn't anybody coming, like maybe one, maybe two. And I couldn't understand why. Why isn't anybody coming to this meeting? And anyway, in time, I started asking the one or two that was coming, what can we do to get women to come? Because it's a halfway house, for gosh sakes. They need this meeting. Anyway, I've come to find out that, they had said that there had been missionaries there in the past that weren't addicts. And so they weren't feeling like they were getting them. And the other thing is that at the time that it was a man and a woman was coming, and it really didn't take a rocket scientist to know that these women needed a safe place to share without men being in that room. You know, some of them have prostitution in their background. And I, of course, almost was a prostitute myself, pretty darn close. And anyway, what happened is I went to my mission president and said, we need to get rid of the men at Orange Street, and it needs to be a women-only meeting. And then I had prayed for a right companion, and my companion that I was blessed with that we serve there today, she lost a son to gang violence almost 18 years ago. And anyway, a friend of her son and a family friend of mine shot each other at this missed parking lot 18 years ago in gang violence. And we had cried together in years, about 10 years ago in church, and about those boys. And so I was just like, perfect, perfect, best partner ever. Well, anyway, in time, the women started coming slowly but surely. And there has been times that we've had up to 25 women at a time in these meetings. And we went from one meeting a week to two meetings a week. And what does my little pitiful, heartfelt, horrible story have to do with anything? It has to do with everything with my mission. Everything. I can say that I know what these women are feeling like. I mean, I was sober when I lost custody of my son. I didn't do anything wrong. I hadn't lost him for the same reason. But, you know, he's come home now. But some of these women haven't seen their kids since they were babies, and it's been 14 years that they've been in prison, and all these years, and some of them are just getting their kids back. And so, anyway, we have a theme. And I mean it when I say it, when I'm there at Orange Street every week. Our theme is that these are women who are missionaries in training. Because, see, that's exactly what I was, is a missionary in training through all of this. And it's exactly what our Lord's Heavenly Father's will was for me. And if I hadn't had that knowledge that I was valiant in the preexistence, and he didn't give me that little glimpse of things to hang on to when things were hard, I may have been another suicide, and that's the truth. But I'm getting to have some of that joy. One of the things that my mission companion and I chose to do, it's not required, but it's what we do, is once a month we go to the Orange Street branch with the women and attend church with them. And anyway, it was really neat. Actually, just this last Sunday, they were having this lesson, and one of the women raised her hand, and she said, "Well, I get it. I get what you're saying. We're missionaries in training." That's right. And that's the way they treat each other. They help each other get back to the facility sober at the end of the day, and they're healing in that room. And men aren't allowed. And all I know is that we went from one meeting a week to two. And the meetings are coming. And all I know is that my Heavenly Father needed me to go through some really painful stuff for some really beautiful purposes. And the joy part is now coming because it's not just the women. My kids, they're doing great now. They're A and B students. That was not the case even a year ago. And I guess the biggest thing is, you know what? I've learned what I'm made of. I'm made of some pretty good stuff. And it's because we have this little silly thing called the 12 steps. You know, this little silly, I really love that saying that no matter how far down the scale you've gone, there's 12 steps back. That's the truth. And you know what? There's also a saying that it's in the scriptures, but let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. And you know what? I can't paint a pretty picture because that wasn't my experience. But my experience today is that the Lord has blessed me with a light today that shines. And he took me from the darkness. And I know that what his will is for me, he trusted me with a mission that I didn't even know yet was coming. And for that knowledge and for that revelation, I couldn't be more grateful. And I'm really grateful to be part of this project as well. And I really come to love all I do. And I missed you the last couple of weeks. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
The full episode for Step 11 of the Addiction Recovery Program is also available on the Mormon channel.